Okay, in Deuteronomy 18, you turn over there and I'm going to make a few comments as you go. Remember, our Lord met a woman at a well in Samaria, that woman that had had so many husbands, and she said to him, "I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ, and when he's come, he'll tell us all things." Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Now, he said that in John chapter 4. That's where that's found. Even the Samaritans were expecting the Messiah to come. The years had gone by, 470 years approximately, going back to the prophecy found in Daniel. They were looking for a Messiah. It was going to come during the time of the Roman Empire. They were looking. And this lady made a statement. She knew that when he came, all the dark things would be cleared away, and he would tell us all things. He was going to make it plain. He's just going to make it plain. And I want to speak to you about this one who made it plain here. You know, as I speak to you today from Deuteronomy 18, it may sound like I'm preaching about Moses, but what I want you to see as we do this and go through this is that Moses is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a picture of Christ. And you see this here. You know, in the Old Testament times, there were three offices that were held. There were kings, priests, and prophets. And nobody in the Old Testament was ever all three of those things. David, as you know, was a king, and he was a prophet, but he wasn't a priest. And there were men who occupied two. But the one man that stands out in Old Testament history as the closest man to having held all three of those offices is this man named Moses. And in that sense, he is a very good picture of Christ. Moses was of the tribe of Levi. Moses was the brother of Aaron, who was the high priest. Moses sanctified the temple and appointed all the priests and ministered in the temple. So there was a sense in which Moses was a priest, and there was no doubt Moses was a prophet, and Moses was a ruler. You couldn't call him a king, but he was the ruler of the people of God in that Old Testament time. So he is really, in a sense, the man who stands out as the most and the Old Testament types like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is. And you know, when I read these things to you, you know, when you hear people talk about Old Testament pictures of Christ, you have a tendency to think, well, now maybe he's ad-libbing a little, he's getting a little too far off, and I've heard some things said that I wondered about. But when a man tells you in God's Word that he is a picture of Christ, I've got every right to believe that. And that's what you see here in Deuteronomy 18. Look at verse 15. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall you hearken." Now that's my subject. That's the title of my message, "A Prophet Like Unto Me." Now if Moses said that about this one who is to come, that's what we're going to look at, how Christ and Moses were alike. And first thing I want you to see, let's read down through this here. "According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they've spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Now this is my text. And the first thing I want you to see when you read this prophecy about a prophet, that prophet that was to come, is that that prophet was going to be an Israelite. You know, there have been many people who rose up over the generations and claimed to be prophets of God. Muhammad claimed to be the prophet of God. What's wrong with that? Muhammad was not of Israel. He would come up from the midst of thee, his brother. Buddha. I have a friend that's a Buddhist I work with. Buddha is no prophet of God. He's not the prophet the Lord spoke of. You can name all the false gods. In India alone, there's a god for every day, you know, and for just about anything. All these false gods, We're told plainly here that he would be raised up from among the Jews and that he would be like Moses. Now, how is he like Moses, this one who's coming? We're going to run through the Bible here today. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. You may want to mark Deuteronomy. We're coming back. Hebrews chapter 3. He was like Moses. It's hard. When you speak of Christ, it's hard to speak of him as being like Moses. Moses was like Christ, okay? But pardon me, as I said, this gets a little confusing because I'm preaching about Christ and I often refer to Moses. Look at Hebrews 3. Wherefore, first verse, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which should be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Now there's a contrast here, a comparison made. Christ, Moses are faithful. Moses was faithful in all his house. What's that mean? It means he was faithful in all his house. He did what God Almighty told him to do. He was made a ruler over those people. You think about the burden of speaking and leading millions of ignorant people who had been slaves for years. And the burden of taking them through a wilderness with just a few things on your back. You know, when you left town, you had your dough wrapped up in a blanket on your back going out the door, you know. That man was faithful to what he was called to do. And he was faithful in doing what the Lord told him to do. He says, as a testimony of those things which would be spoken after, he was faithful in building the tabernacle that God instructed him to build exactly the way he was told to build. Not a thing varied. And you know why it was so important that everything in that tabernacle be exactly the way God said? Because that tabernacle was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when he veered from the one thing in his life that he did wrong was when he smote that rock, when he was told to strike it, speak to it. Why was that? Because that rock was Christ, and that rock was only going to be smitten once. And he's supposed to speak to the rock. In anger, he smote it. Now, that was the only thing I could call unfaithful about Moses. He was faithful in all his house. And that man is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great ruler. If you think that Moses was faithful, how much the more so was the Son of God? If a charge of a few million Jews was a great thing to be accomplished, how much the more so is the Son of God faithful to the Father in charge of all his people, in charge of all his people? So we see the faithfulness of Moses contrasted to Christ right here. And also in Hebrews 3:1, let's just go on here. Moses was also like Christ in his excellence. His excellence. What do I mean? I mean he stands out above everybody else as a prophet in the Old Testament. Everybody else. Look at Numbers 12. Numbers 12. Now, I'm not going to go and read you all this, but Miriam and Aaron were a little upset because Moses had married an Ethiopian woman. And they spoke up about it. Now, you can read that at your own leisure here. Verse 2, they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath not he also spoken by us? And the Lord heard it." Look at here. Verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now, who is that a picture of? Who is it that said, "Come unto me? I am meek and lowly. I'll give you rest." You remember that? This man was called the meekest man. If God Almighty says he's the meekest man on the face of the earth, he is the meekest man on the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, and come out thee into the tabernacle of the congregation. They three came out. The Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Now hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Now, you see that again? He was faithful in all my house. Now, here's something else about the faithfulness. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold, whereof then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. Moses was like Christ in that his excellence above all of the prophets. Moses is like Christ in this respect. The other prophets saw dreams and visions. Oftentimes, they were just knocked out in a trance. They saw fig baskets. They saw scrolls and things. God didn't talk to Moses that way. You don't find him doing that. He talked face to face, mouth to mouth. Why is that? Moses is a picture of Christ. He's got a relationship with God Almighty that no other prophet has. Now that's what that's talking about here. Face to face. Look here in Deuteronomy 34. I want to show you this. Deuteronomy 34. Now this verse here we've been reading about that prophet that should come. He's not just talking about any prophet. He's talking about a specific prophet. If you look at Deuteronomy 34, look at verse 10. These last words here are being written in this book, are being written by Joshua. Okay? I want you to understand that. Moses has gone up on the mount and been called away. And Joshua finishes this book by making these statements. Look at verse 9, verse 9 starting there. Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So they listened to him. But listen to what Joshua says here. There has arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. What's he saying? Joshua was given the power and spirit of God, but Joshua's saying, I'm not that prophet. There's not arose a prophet in all of Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. You see that? He's saying, I'm not that prophet that shall come. God Almighty knew Moses face to face, and there's another sense in which Moses was a special instrument of God. And he says that in the next verse here. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all the servants and to all his land, and all that mighty hand and in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. That's the next thing. Moses and Christ are alike in faithfulness. Moses and Christ are alike in excellence. Moses and Christ are alike in that their wonders and signs were done publicly. That's what he ends with here. Publicly. There have been, there are Old Testament prophets that worked miracles. There were signs accompanied with them. You know, Jonah sat down one day and a gourd grew up over him and died. We read about that. But we read about Moses taking rods and striking the water. You know what I'm saying? There were public signs. He'd go in and tell Pharaoh what was going to happen. And then you come over to the New Testament and you see public signs and wonders accompanying the Lord Jesus Christ and His ministry. It was a picture. Moses had 76 miracles associated with his ministry. If you take all the other prophets in the Old Testament, combine all of them, there were 74. Moses worked more miracles in his ministry than all the others put together. But my friends, none of those compare to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about the miracles that took place that day when He took just a few fish and a few loaves and broke them. Fed 5,000. How many miracles were going on there? Miracle working. Look at John 21. John 21. verse 24. This is that disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should have been written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should have been written. Look back over at John 15. Our Lord mentions this very thing about the publicness of His ministry. John 15, verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for this sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. For if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. If he had not done what no other man had done. The miracles of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He and Moses were alike in that respect. Fourthly, our Lord was like Moses in that our Lord and Moses were both lawgivers. Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. You've got these five books. And these things were both at the giving of the law and the gospel. Was accompanied with signs and wonders. Up there on Mount Sinai that day when the law was given, smoke, fire, the voice of word, sound of a trumpet. On the day of Pentecost, when the gospel went forth, what happened? Wind, shaking, a sound from heaven, cloven tongues like as a fire. These things are both inaugural events. You know, I hear people, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and everybody there wanted to recreate Pentecost. That's what they wanted to do. But you know, in the Old Testament, when the Jews got together in the synagogue, they weren't trying to recreate Sinai. They weren't called Sinecostals. Can you imagine that? All getting together on a Sabbath day and calling themselves Sinecostals, trying to get the smoke and the fire to come down. It's just so stupid. These things were things that accompanied the early church, and they accompanied this giving of the gospel. Isaiah 42. I want to show you that one. There was a law given by Moses, but look at Isaiah 42. Chapter 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now who could that be? He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He's a meek man, just like Moses was the meekest man of the earth. A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in all the earth, and the isles, the far-off places of the world, shall wait for his what? Law. He's a lawgiver. It's the gospel. The gospel is a law. It's the law of Christ, the gospel. And the world, the Gentile world, the isles, afar off, were standing tippy-toe throughout the centuries waiting for that gospel of grace to come. Thank God. Thank God. So Christ is like Moses in that he's a lawgiver. And Christ and Moses are alike also in this sense. Look over at Hebrews 11. This is I came across this. And Hebrews 11. You know, you read the chapter of Hebrews, and sometimes when you read in this chapter, you're looking at all these great statements about men of faith. And that's there. But there's something else here I want you to see. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, these people were commanded to destroy the children, the male children that were born. But they refused, not fearing the king. Do you know of anyone else who came in history that was born and they were wanting to kill the male children? Anybody else of that skill? The Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here, they saw that he was a proper child. What does that mean? You know, there's not a person in this room that ever had a kid that didn't think, oh, that's a proper child. Right back there, that's a proper child, isn't it? These are proper children. There's not a mom or a daddy in the world that didn't think their kid was a proper child. There's something about that word proper child. Look how that's described over in Acts chapter 7. Stephen was preaching on this subject. Acts 7. And we're coming back to Hebrews here in just a second. Hebrews. Acts 7, verse 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. Do you have a side margin in your Bible? You see what it says for exceeding fair? Mine says, fair to God. You see that? Fair to God. Some of the texts say, fair in the sight of God, dear to God. Moses was a proper child. He was dear to God. He was fair to God. Who is that a picture of? That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. This one who would come. All born. Of a virgin.
Fourth generation.
That's right.
Fourth generation.
Promise. He's holy. Now look up back here back over here in Hebrews 11. Listen to this about Moses. He was born, and verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's another thing I want you to see about Moses. Moses, a man of great power and influence, declined the glory. Stepped away from it. Put a contrast in your mind about this man who had been raised in Pharaoh's house. You know, back in Exodus chapter 1, verse 12, those Jews, you know what they were building? They were slaves to build. You can look at it a little bit later. They were building two cities of treasures. They had so much wealth there that Pharaoh was building cities just to put his treasures in. Pharaoh, he's in that house. Moses is in that house. He's got it made. And yet when he came of age, what does that mean? That means he was perfectly cognizant of what he was doing. He was perfectly willing to do what he was doing. He is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who declined the glory and came down here. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, but he came down here and made himself no reputation, robed himself in flesh like you and me, not sinful flesh, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came down here like Moses here, who declined the glory, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He became one with the people of God. You see that? Their affliction shall be my affliction. Rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. What's the reproach of Christ? Coming down here. You see what I'm saying? That's the reproach of Christ. Coming down here to bear the sins of his people. Moses is making himself one with those detestable Jews over here. These people who, when he tried to help them early on, he killed an Egyptian. And the next day, there were two of these Jews arguing. And he pulled them over to the side in kind words. And he said to them, now, you guys get along here. You get late. And they turned around and said to him, who made you a prince and ruler over us? You see that? That's a picture of my Lord, who's refused and rejected, came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you who made him a prince and ruler over him. God Almighty did. And that happened. That man was sent to deliver those people. He became one with those people, stepped down to deliver those people. And I'm telling you, that's a picture of my Lord, my Lord. Bearing the reproach, leaving it all, for the elect's sake. Now, you can talk about what Moses gave up. What he gave up. How do you compare that with what the Lord Jesus Christ gave up?
Yeah.
Greater love hath no man than this. Now, you search history and see if you can find anybody else that's a prophet like unto Moses. You just search history. I love what old... I love what old Philip said to Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." That's what he said. "We found him. This is the one." Has to be the one. Now back here in the text, I want to show you. Turn back here in Deuteronomy 18. There's a prophet coming. You're going to have to hearken to him. And you listen. Verse 16. "It's according to all you desire to the Lord thy God at Horeb in the day of the assembly." What was that? Well, you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord again, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not." And the Lord said, "Boy, you've spoken well that which you've spoken." Now, what's this talking about? Turn back in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we'll read this. This is when the law was given, the Ten Commandments. The law of God was given. Chapter 5, Deuteronomy, verse 1. "Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. For the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. And the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive today. And the Lord talked with you face to face in the mount in the midst of the fire. And I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount," saying. Turn on down to verse 22 in this text rather than read all these the commandments. "These words of the Lord spake unto all the assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, the thick darkness, the great voice, and he added no more, and he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near to me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness. We've heard his voice out of the midst of the fire, and we've seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as we have and lived? So go thou near, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I've heard the voice of the words of the people which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken." A commendation from God Almighty. Can you imagine that? These people have actually said something that's right. They've said something that's right. They have said, "We've seen something of your holiness. And we don't ever want to hear that voice again." Moses, go mediate. Go be a mediator. You go hear what God says, and you come tell us. You've well spoken. You ever get to that place, you've well spoken. That's not the God I'm hearing about today. Everybody I know, I saw a television show the other day, somebody said something about they believed in God, and he says, "Well, I'm a fisherman, and Jesus and the apostles were fishermen, so me and God are mates." That's what he said. No, we ain't. There's no fear of God before the eyes of this generation. And these people had some vision. They got a glimpse of that holiness of that God, and they said, "I've got to have a mediator." And God said, "That's right." And that's what he's saying about that prophet. "That prophet that's coming in Deuteronomy 18 shall be according to that thou said." That's what he's saying. "I will raise up a prophet from among thy brethren like unto thee," verse 19, "put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." This one who's coming is going to be a mediator like Moses. Stand there and preach what God Almighty has to say. I like that. You know, those folks were filled with fear. More importantly, they wanted a mediator. And that's what our Lord's speaking about here. God Himself said, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to put my words in the mouth of this one that shall come. John 14, verse 10. John 14. If you keep my commandments, that's 15, excuse me, verse 14, 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. My works are his works, my words are his words. That's what he said here. You know, when the Jews ask for this, God gave them what they were asking for. Look at chapter John 7. We'll look at a few verses here. John 7, verse 16. How often the Lord says this. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. I'm not speaking of myself there. Not speaking of myself. Look at John 17, verses 6 through 8. We're just going to flip through a few pages here in John. I have manifested thy name unto them, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words that thou gavest me. And they have received them and known surely that I am come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now look here at John 12. Just flip back another. Look at this other verse. This is an interesting verse to me because he actually uses the word that Moses used. He shall speak unto you the thing that I command. You remember that in Deuteronomy? Look here at verse chapter 12. Look at verse 48. He that rejecteth me, receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now look at this verse. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment. You remember that word back there? The word what I command him. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. As my Father hath taught me, so I speak these words, you know. I'm telling you. This is the one spoken of in Deuteronomy. And turn back here also as we'll mention this. Deuteronomy 18, verse 19. It'll come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. That's serious. You know, I heard this old song I used to sing when I was growing up. I've heard it sung, Every Promise in the Book is Mine. You remember that song? Some of you may know that song. I don't want every promise in the book. Because there's a promise here that says it'll come to pass those who don't hearken, I will require it of them. I require it of them. You see a picture of that in Luke 19, verse 44. Luke 19, 44. Our Lord was talking about the rejection of the Jews. In verse 44, he said, And he shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Back in verse 27 of that same chapter, he said, And those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. You know, historically, our Lord said the generation that rejected him there at Calvary would not pass away until every one of the stones there were pulled out. And the Jews kept trying to overthrow Rome. False Christ kept coming up saying that they were the Christ after our Lord had died and was resurrected. And less than 35, 40 years from the time of our Lord's death, there was an insurrection that started in Jerusalem. And at that time, Caesar sent a man named Vespasian with his armies down from the north to finally put a stop to what was going on there. And Vespasian had a son named Titus, I believe, down in Egypt, running all the Roman legion there. And on the way down, Vespasian was coming down, but Caesar died, and the Senate voted him in as the new Caesar. So he had to turn around and go back. And he sent word to his son to come up from the south. Now that sounds like a bunch of accidents, but the Lord said, when you see them coming through Judah, know that the time is nigh. You've read that. The armies had to come through Judah. They couldn't come down from the north. If I got to kill a Caesar to get this done, Vespasian's going back and Titus is coming up. And they circle that city of Jerusalem. The people who had rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they circle that city during the Passover when hundreds of thousands of Jews were there. And they put the siege on that town for years. The women in that city were eating their children. People would pay big money, for bird dung just to have something to eat. When Titus finally took that city, when they went in, they had to step over the dead carcasses on the streets. And the Jews set fire to their own temple, thinking that the Messiah would surely show up if the temple of God was burning down. And all the gold in that temple melted between the stones. And when the fire stopped, they pried the stones apart to get the gold, just like they said. Not one stone left upon another, just like he said. To reject the words of the Lord Jesus Christ is serious business. And I'm here today, who am I? Who's any man that tries to preach? We're nobody. But to reject the one who speaks from heaven. We read that verse. If the one who spoke on that earth, Moses, if his law was such that it was followed, how much the more so the law of the Lord Jesus Christ? How shall we escape, Paul said in Hebrews 2, if we neglect so great salvation? That's the exact question. Tell you, John 3, look at John 3:35. John 3:35. These are the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believes on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now you think here about Moses. When he saw that mountain shaken, it said, the meekest man that ever lived said, I do exceedingly fear and quake. Do you remember reading that? You think, not even a beast should touch that mountain. No flesh should touch that mountain. You've got no business there. We've got no business touching that mountain. That's the holy mountain of God. And I tell you, I said that earlier, if a man ever gets an idea of how holy God is and how sinful he is, he's going to ask for this mediator that Moses was talking about. Just like those people asked for Moses to go up there on that hill. That proper child. That one who was fair to God. I want that one who is the proper child. The one who's fair to God to go before the Father on my behalf. You understand? That's it. That's where I've arrived. I pray you've arrived there. You know, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He's like Moses, only infinitely better. You know, He's received a more excellent priesthood, a more excellent ministry, according to Hebrews 8. You think about the Old Testament law. The law was given to Israel, and it said, you keep this law, you get to stay in this land. you don't keep this law, you don't get to stay in this land. And they lost the land. But that same law said to the son, you keep this law. You keep this law and inherit all things. He did. And we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That's right. That's the prophet that's like Moses. And that's the prophet I want to know. Well, let's dismiss in prayer. Father, I pray you bless these words, the scripture that you've given us. What an infinite book. In it we get a small glimpse of thy mind, and we're so limited, we know so little. I pray, Lord, you bless it, though. Cause it to grow. Help us as we go about our work this week, for thy great name's sake.